just a smile, and I was too. Landon, you did an awesome job. And I think that ministered to my heart, and I think it ministered to a lot of people's heart. You know, there is coming a day where you and I are going to take our last breath down here on this earth. And I'm so thankful that if Jesus lives on the inside of our heart, we get to go to heaven. I'm so looking forward to that day. You know, I thought George Strait was a good singer. Amen. He ain't got nothing on Landon, does he? Yeah, now, come, y'all just staring at me acting like y'all don't know who George Strait is. Don't act so sanctified. This is Harden. Everybody knows who George Strait is. That's right. Alrighty. Alright, well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to go. Where are we going to be at? We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3 is where our text will come from this morning. We're going to bounce around a lot today, but this is where our text will be today. 1 Peter chapter number 3. There in the back of your New Testament, Hebrews and the book of James, and then you'll find 1 Peter there. All right. I know we've got a lot of meetings coming up, youth meeting. We've got all that. But there was a pastor, and he announced to his church, he said, all right, after the service today, we're going to have a church board meeting in the vestibule after the service. So after the service, they all walked back there to the church board, and there was a stranger and a visitor there standing there in the church board meeting. And the pastor looked at him. He said, sir, do you know this is a church board meeting? He said, well, yes, sir. And after today's sermon, I imagine I'm just as bored as everybody else in this meeting. Hopefully you won't say that at the end of today's sermon. All right. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15. We'll just read two verses here. Peter says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in verse 15, he says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. And that's where we'll stop today. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that you might use it today to help us. God, we thank you for your word and how profitable it is. So God, I pray that we'll walk out of this place closer to you than we are right now. Lord, just do a work in our hearts. And if anybody doesn't know you, I pray today will be the day they receive Christ as their Savior. Lord, we love you. We praise you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, before we get into the message today, I want you to do something for me. I want you to think back to that person who told you about Jesus. Think back to that person. You may not remember the first person who ever told you about Jesus. Maybe your mother and your father told you about Jesus. But I want you to think back to that person who told you about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can't do that, think back to that person who led you to the Lord. I'll never forget the lady that led me to the Lord. She was my Christian Learning Center teacher. Her name was Miss Myers, and she sat on the front of the bus that day and led me to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody got that person in your mind? Aren't you glad that that person didn't keep Jesus to themselves? Aren't you glad that that person didn't keep their mouth shut? They weren't scared, but they freely and boldly proclaimed the truth that Jesus loves you and Jesus wants to save you. I don't know about you, but I am sure glad that they didn't keep their mouth shut, but they shared Jesus with me. Now, I want you to think about this. That person that you thought about, you are that person to somebody else. God wants you to be that person to somebody else who loves them enough and who is bold enough to tell them the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's people all around in our lives who need to know the truth of who Jesus is. And most of you already have that person in your mind that you're thinking of right now. You see, there's people in your life that I'll never be able to reach with the gospel. And there's people in my life that you'll never be able to reach with the gospel. We all have people that work with us in our family, in our friends, that God has placed in our life so that we might tell them the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, last week we talked about fulfilling our part in the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is found in Matthew 28 and Mark 16. In both of the times it says go. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. That is the Great Commission, that we need to go and take the gospel. Now, some of you may not know what the gospel is this morning. You may be new to all this Bible stuff. You may be new to all this church stuff. So let me give you a quick review of what the gospel is. The gospel is the greatest news that anybody could ever give you. You see, but not only that, the gospel also has bad news. It has bad news, good news, and it requires a response from everybody on the face of the earth. See, the bad news is that every single person born into this world is a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All of us are sinners. And that means we're separated from a holy God. See, that's the bad news. And unless we are reconciled to Him, unless we make things right with God, we will die and we will be without God for all of eternity. See, that's the bad news. But the good news is, that God, who we are His enemy, whom we are separated from Him, whom we are sinners against, He loves us. And He loved you and I enough to send His Son Jesus Christ into this world to be born, to live, to die on the cross, to shed His blood so that we might have the forgiveness of sins. But 3 days later, He rose from the dead so that all that come to God through Him can now be saved. That's the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we said, I think 2 weeks ago, just because Jesus died on the cross doesn't mean everybody's going to heaven. See, the gospel also requires us to respond to it. We can either believe and receive Christ, or we can reject Christ. And that's the response that the gospel brings to us. But for those of us who have trusted in Christ as our Lord and Savior, God has given us a duty. And that duty is the Great Commission to go, to baptize, to teach. And we must be going. That's what we talked about last week. Now, when I walked out of here last week, I was still a little bit convicted because I realized I probably didn't say everything I needed to say. Because last week, all we talked about was the commandment. And the commandment is to go. That's all we talked about. But I did not tell you how you're supposed to go. And it's partly my job to make sure you know how to do it through what the Bible tells us. Now, I realize that most of us want to share the gospel, but some of us just don't know how. That's just the simple facts of it. Let me illustrate it for you. It's like when you're in middle school. There's always that one boy or that one girl that everybody wants to ask out to the dance. Now, Monica, don't get mad. This was way before Monica. Everybody had that girl that everybody looked at, that everybody had the desire to ask out. But you know what? They didn't nobody know how. You see, when I was in middle school, nobody had cell phones. You couldn't just text and be like, "You want to go to the dance Friday?" I don't know if you'd say that, but anyway, you couldn't just do that. You had to walk up to them and face to face and do it. You see, everybody had the desire to do it, but they ain't nobody know how to do it. And you see, that's kind of how we feel about sharing the gospel. Most of us, we truly want to share the gospel with our coworkers. We truly want to share Jesus with our family, with our friends. But the problem is, we just don't know how to bring it up sometimes. You know, you have a coworker that you know is lost, that you know needs to be saved, and you want to share Jesus with them. But how are you supposed to bring it up on your 30-minute lunch break? You have that family member that you see at Christmas and Thanksgiving and you know they're lost, but how are you supposed to bring up the fact that they need to be saved, that they need to get their life right with God? So that's what we're going to talk about today. You'll see that we're talking about sharing your faith today, and I'm just going to give you four quick things that we need to know about sharing our faith. Now, before we get into it, what I'm not going to do is tell you word for word what you need to say to people, because that's not my job. That is why the Holy Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. To tell us exactly what to do and what to say. If you have the Holy Spirit, He'll tell you what to say. Jesus said sometimes you don't even have to think about what you're supposed to say. He will bring it to your mind of what you need to say to that particular person at that particular time. That is why the Holy Spirit lives within us. So I'm not going to tell you what to say, but I am going to give you a simple outline of what we need to be doing in order to share Jesus with the people around us. The first thing that we need to be doing is regular prayer. regular prayer. You say, what in the world does prayer have to do with sharing your faith? Everything. Prayer has everything to do with sharing our faith, because I happen to believe that the most crucial part of prayer, of evangelism and of sharing your faith, is prayer. Listen to what Billy Graham said. He said, prayer is crucial in evangelism. No matter how logical our arguments, no matter how fervent our appeals, our words will accomplish nothing unless God's Spirit prepares the way. And the way God's Spirit prepares the way is through prayer. You say, well, what am I supposed to pray about sharing my faith? Number one, you need to pray for open hearts. You need to pray for open hearts. You know the Apostle Paul? He was probably the greatest missionary that this world has ever seen. I mean, thousands came to Christ on two different continents because of his witness for Christ. In Asia and in Europe, millions and thousands came to Christ because he preached the gospel. And you just imagine the Apostle Paul being the most dynamic preacher you've ever heard. The Bible speaks a little bit differently of the Apostle Paul. People just weren't falling on their knees because he was a dynamic preacher. But the Bible tells you the reason people were getting saved when Paul preached is because God had already went before him and opened their hearts. First time Paul went to Europe, the Bible says he met a woman named Lydia. And the Bible says the Lord had already opened her heart. And that's the reason she responded to the gospel. Not because he was a dynamic preacher, but because God went before and prepared the hearts to receive the word that Paul was going to preach. So unless we pray for God to open the hearts of your loved ones, they're not going to receive. We need to be praying that God will open their heart to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul asked the Thessalonians to pray there in 1 Thessalonians 3. The next thing we need to be praying for is not only open hearts, you need to be praying for opportunities. Paul said in Colossians 4:3, he said, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. In other words, Paul said, pray that God would open up a door so that I might share Christ. So that I might share Christ. Now listen, all of us probably, if we're Christians, we have a desire to share our faith. But when's the last time we got up one morning and said, God, if you will give me an opportunity to share my faith today, I'll do it. God, just open up the opportunity at work. Open up the opportunity with my son. Open up the opportunity with my daughter. And God, I'll do it. Can I tell you, if you ask God to give you an opportunity to share the gospel, I'm telling you nearly 100% of the time, God will open up the door almost that day. But when's the last time we said, God, just give me an opportunity to share it? Because we need to be praying that God would open up a door of opportunity for us to share that. I'll never forget this. When I was in college, I worked at the Y as a personal trainer. And you probably can't tell now. But anyway, too much chicken. But there came a man into my office that day, and I think his name was Carl. I'm pretty sure his name was Carl. And what we would do is we would just take him through all the stuff, get him started on a program to help him lose weight. I'll never forget the first day he walked in my office, and he said, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm going to school to be a preacher. And his eyes just lit up. He was like, man, that's awesome. He said, even though I'm not a born-again Christian, that's cool to hear. And immediately my mind went, God placed this man here for a reason. And I remember going home thinking, I said, God, I'm going to meet with Carl 7 more times this month. 7 times I'm going to meet with him. God, if you just give me one opportunity to share the gospel with him, I'll try my best to do it. Just give me an opportunity. And then I pray. I said, listen, God, there's millions, hundreds of people at the Y. I do not want to be around him with other people sharing the gospel, because he probably won't listen if there's people standing right beside us. I need to be one-on-one with Carl all by himself so that he might listen clearly and hear the gospel. I said, God, if you open that up, I'll do it. Well, I'll never forget. I got home one day at 3 o'clock from work, and my boss called me. He said, hey, so-and-so called in sick. Can you come in at 4:30? Yeah, I'll be back in a minute. I pull in the parking lot there at the Y, and if I'm lying, I'm dying. As soon as I get out of the truck, there's Carl walking in right beside me. And I promise you, I looked all around the parking lot. Do you know there wasn't one person standing in the parking lot? It was me and this man. And I said, wow, God, you really heard that one. And my heart just started to go. I was like, all right, here we go. Here's the opportunity. How am I going to bring this up? How am I going to tell him? But you know, we had about 300 yards to walk into the Y, and I got to share the gospel with that man. Because God opened up a door of opportunity to share it with him. No, he didn't come to Christ that day, but I can tell you what happened. When he went home, and every day after that, he's been thinking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't go home with them. We can't save them. But what can go home with them is what you say to them. And they'll never forget it. So pray for God to not only open hearts, but pray for God to open up opportunities for us to share the gospel. Have you prayed lately that God would give you an opportunity? If not, start praying and see just how many opportunities opens up. Some of the greatest missionaries that this world has ever seen. One man was named John Knox. He was great in the Reformation, bringing about some great Christian principles back to the world. And he prayed this. He said, God, give me Scotland or I die. In other words, he was in Scotland as a missionary and he said, I want Scotland to be saved or I don't want to live. David Brainerd, great missionary in the northern part of our country, died at 26 years old. He said this. He said, I don't care where I live or what hardships I go through, so that I can but gain souls to Christ. While I'm asleep, I dream of that. As soon as I awake, the first thing I think of is this great work, and all my desire is the conversion of sinners. George Whitefield said, O Lord, give me souls or take my soul. In other words, he was so passionate about sinners that he wanted them to come to Christ. He said, I want to see them come to Christ or I don't want to live here anymore. That's such a passion. And they prayed. That's where it started, with prayer. And that's where it has to start with us. So sharing your faith, number one, we need regular prayer. But secondly, we need real practice. So what does that mean? That means we practice what we preach. We practice what we preach and we make sure our life is lined up with the words that we're about to speak that come out of this book. You say, why is it important that we practice what we preach? Well, let me line this up for you. You want to lose 50 pounds. And you're going to go to the Y and you're going to hire a personal trainer. And they've got two men lined up for you that you can pick from to be your personal trainer that can help you lose 50 pounds. Herky's laughing. Now, these two men, there's one man over here. He's 500 pounds eating a Snicker bar. The dude over here is 180 pounds. He's got muscles on muscles on muscles. And he's eating a salad. Which trainer are you going to pick? Now be honest. I know some of you would like a Snickers bar. But if you want to lose 50 pounds, which one are you going to pick? This one. Why? Both of them might know how, but only one of them is practicing what he preaches. You see, and it's the same thing with really sharing the gospel. People are going to be more prone to listen to what we have to say if they know we practice what we preach. You know, because the first thing that's going to happen when we start sharing the gospel, some people are going to get defensive. Even when we share it with great love, with great prayer, some people are just going to get defensive that we think they need something that they don't have. So the first thing they're going to do is start calling out some things in our life that aren't right. In other words, they're going to look at you and say, hold on, you're telling me about Jesus, you don't even go to church. You're telling me about Jesus, you drink as much as I do on the weekends. Why should I listen to you? You see, people are going to be more prone to listen to us when we are practicing what we preach. And this isn't just in sharing our faith. One of the greatest principles we can learn is to practice what we preach. Amen? Real practice. One man said, take heed to yourselves lest your example contradict your speech, lest you unsay with your lives what you say with your tongues. Lest you unsay with your lives what you say with your tongues. You see, one of the greatest ways to share our faith is by living it out. Do you know that? One of the greatest ways to share our faith is by living it out. I want you to listen to this. Is a very interesting verse in the Bible. One of the hardest things a husband or a wife can do, if you are married to an unbeliever, one of the hardest things to do is to share Christ with them. One of the hardest things to do is to be an example to them of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to what the Bible says. It's specifically speaking to wives. that if you have a husband that's an unbeliever. Peter says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conduct of the wives. What Peter just said is, if wife, you have an unbelieving husband, you can win him to Christ by the way you live around him. And I think it goes the exact same thing. Husband, if you have a wife that is an unbeliever, you can win them to Christ just by the way that you live every single day around them. That's exactly what the Bible tells you. And that is how powerful our testimony of how we live can be. It can literally show people and bring them to Christ. That's how powerful our life can be. The people who are around us every day can see something that is different about us and they'll want what we have. That's how powerful practicing what we preach is. Now, sharing our faith is not only about regular prayer. It's not only about real practice. Some of you are going to like this. It's about right pronunciation. I had to throw a good P in there. Get them all lined up. Now, what that does not mean is you have to say the right words with the right slang. Obviously, I don't have the right slang most of the time. But that's not saying that we need to always say the right words, but this is what it does mean. That we need to use words. See, I've known a lot of unbelievers who are good moral people. Anybody have ever known a non-Christian that is probably a good moral person? I've known plenty of them that's never cheated on their spouse, that's never drank a sip of alcohol, that's never even said a cuss word. They are good moral people, and yet they just don't believe in Christ. And they're just as lost as the people who do all those things. You see, so in order to share Christ, we just don't need a life that shares it. We need words that say it. Because what's the Bible say? Faith cometh by what? Hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, not particularly seeing. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And they can't hear it unless somebody speaks it to them. You see, now, I'll just go ahead and be honest with you. When an opportunity rises up for me to share Christ, I get nervous. And if you don't get nervous, I need you to share with me how you don't get nervous. Because when that opportunity comes up and you meet somebody and God says, hey, why don't you share it? The heart just gets to going, boy. And what I found out when I was thinking about it a little bit this week, this is what I think. I don't think it's as much nerves as it is spiritual warfare. You see, I can talk to anybody about the North Carolina Tar Heels and my heart won't start beating one more beat. Because, by the way, they're awful. We can talk to anybody about how cold it is outside. I can go to McDonald's right now and start talking to somebody, man, it was cold this morning, and I won't get nervous one bit. But the moment God brings it up into my mind and says they need to hear about Jesus, whew, my palms start getting sweaty. And you see, we don't get nervous about talking about other stuff, but as soon as we get to bring Jesus up, it starts happening. And that's what is called spiritual warfare. In other words, the devil is trying his best to get you to keep your mouth shut. Because once that person hears it, they can't unhear it. And you see, the devil, he don't care if you're a Christian inside these four walls. But don't you take your Christianity to work with you tomorrow morning. He will do everything that he can to stop you from being a Christian on Monday morning. Because you see, that's going to happen. When that opportunity rises up, there's going to be a battle in your mind. The devil's going to say, they ain't going to listen anyway. There ain't no reason to tell them. God's saying, just do it. The devil's going to say, but they've heard it before. They hadn't responded before. This isn't going to matter. But let me tell you this. You will never obey God and regret it. You will never do what God tells you to do and regret it. But let me tell you what you will regret when you do what the devil tells you to do. Every single time, you and I will regret it. When we just don't do what God tells us to do. You say, well, what am I supposed to say? Now, that's a tough one. What am I supposed to say? I don't know. That's why we have the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of us to tell us what to say and to help us with what to say. Now, there are two main reasons why people say they don't believe in God. The two excuses people use for why they do not believe in a God. Number one, they don't believe that this is the Bible. They just believe that this is something that was written. It's just like every other book. Nobody believes the Bible. Secondly, they have a problem with all the evil in the world. You say, how can you believe in a God that's good, that's loving, when all this stuff is happening around our world? So those are the two main reasons people don't believe in God. So what's going to happen is when you go to a lost person and you start to share with them, listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also says God loves you, and whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if you just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him, you'll be saved. Some will look at you and say, yeah, but that's not really the Bible. I don't believe what that says. So what am I supposed to do? Can I tell you, people can deny the Bible all day. The Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, but there's one thing people will never be able to deny: what Jesus has done personally for you. They may deny the fact that this is the true Word of God, but there is one thing they will never be able to discount: is what Jesus has done in my life. They'll never be able to tell me anything different. So you know what you need to do? Tell people about what Jesus has done in your life. Because they cannot discount that. If Jesus has helped you overcome an addiction to anything, tell them about it. The day you got saved, tell them about it. The day He helped you overcome drugs, the day He helped you overcome alcohol, the day He helped you overcome all these things that you were going through, tell them about what Jesus did, and they can't discount it. Because Jesus can change lives today. And I don't know about you, He's changed my life. And you see, they can't discount the fact that Jesus has changed your life. So tell them your story. You know, every single year we get the opportunity to share the gospel with the North Gaston football team. They come here every single fall. And we have the opportunity to share the gospel and share our story with them. In the past 2 years, when I've got up there to tell them, I say, you know, every single one of us have a story to tell. And we are really doing a disservice to the people around us if we don't tell it. All of us have a testimony. All of us have a story about how God and the Lord Jesus Christ has changed our lives. And we are doing a disservice to the people around us if we don't tell them about it. All of us have a story to tell. And we need to tell it. So, to share our faith, we have regular prayer, real practice, right pronunciation. Fourthly, and I'm done. Share your faith is the main thing. And you just rely upon the power of God. You rely upon the power of God. God came to Moses in that burning bush, remember? He said, Moses, it's my paraphrase, I want you to go before the most powerful man on the face of the planet, Pharaoh, and say, demand, let my people go. What was Moses' first excuse? I'm not eloquent. I can't talk. I stutter. How are you going to tell me to go before the most powerful man on the face of the earth and start talking? He said, I'm not eloquent. I can't do this. Pick somebody else. You know what God said? But I'll be with you. And then He said, who's made your mouth anyway? Who made that? God did. Therefore, if God made it, He can give you the power to do exactly what He's called you to do. God's made us. God's made our mouth. And if He calls us to tell the gospel to someone, He'll give you the power to do it. You see, when Jesus said go in Matthew 28, He didn't just say go. At the end of it, He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. See what Jesus said? He said, by the way, as you go, I'm going too. As you go and share the gospel, I'm going too. And I don't know about you, but it is a great comfort to me that no matter what comes in life, I can hear that still small voice saying, I am with you always. What a joy that is. To know that when you are facing something in your life, you're facing something terrible, scary, terrifying, that somebody lives on the inside of you and He's just saying, I'm with you. That is a great comfort to me, and I hope it is to you. The Bible says, now unto Him that is exceeding abundantly above, that can do more than we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. There's a power that is at work within us. And He will do more than we can ever ask or think. So this week, there's people that you work with that need to hear the gospel. Pray that God will open up the opportunity. Pray that God will give you the ability to share the gospel with them. Because as I said last week, Jesus is coming soon. And if Jesus were to come back by the time we come back to church next Sunday, are you going? If not, make things right with Him today. Musicians, you can come if you would all stand to your feet. Father, we thank You for Your Word this morning, and thank You that You've given us the Holy Spirit of God that we might go out into this world and do exactly what You've called us to do. So Lord, I pray that You'll help us as we walk out of this place to not forget about what we hear, to not forget about what You told us to do. But God, not only be hearers of the Word, be doers of the Word. And God, go out and share our faith of the Lord Jesus Christ with those people that are around us. Even if they're our enemies, Lord, help us to love them as You love us. Share the best news that this world has ever heard with them. Lord, we love You. We praise You. And God, just if there's anybody in here who needs to receive Christ, I pray today will be the day where they come and get things right with You. Lord, we love You. We praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.